Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm John Batchelor with Ronald White. The new book is The Life of Chamberlain, On Great Fields, The Life and Unlikely Heroism of Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. He's just had the moment of moments. Here all these decades later, we still talk about what happened that day, the second day of Gettysburg, July 2nd, 1863. But there is a life to live. And yet, Chamberlain takes the risk of going back to war. There was plenty of opportunity for him to rotate behind the lines. He chose none of it. He went back to war, and he's given a brigade. We're now at Petersburg. It is the summer of, I believe it's the summer of 64. Chamberlain is ordered a direct frontal assault. He hesitates. Why, Ron?
He realizes that this is catastrophic, that this could result in literally all of his men being killed. They're marching into an incredible defensive position of the Confederates at Petersburg.
Yes, and he asks for the orders to be written. Doesn't he do that? He asks for written orders because he doesn't.
He does. He's not quite sure that of the veracity of the order that he's been given, or if the person giving the order understands fully the situation.
This is Fifth Corps, and told to advance in a line against the Confederate position, which is dug in. They have breastworks here, and so they're firing from a very good defensive position, masked gunfire. And Chamberlain is leading his men. He turns around to say, let's go this way. And he's struck. How?
He's struck by a mini ball that enters his left hip, shatters blood vessels, scrapes his bladder and urethra, and then stays inside his body at his right hip. And two surgeons come upon him and tell him he will die.
He's a dead man.
He's a dead man.
Yes, except for the fact that I knew there was more book to go. He's dead. So he's carried to the hospital. His brother Tom is with the regiment. His younger brother John was, but he's gone back to Maine. And he writes a letter to Fanny, I believe, telling her that he's dying and wishing her well. But he doesn't die. How does that happen?
Well, younger brother Tom goes to the 20th Maine and finds two other surgeons who come to him, are able to remove the bullet. And today a physician would say that Chamberlain had a 10% chance of surviving such a mortal wound. And so he writes this remarkable letter to Fanny, believing that he will die, where he confesses both his faith in Jesus Christ and his love for her. Do not grieve me.
Yes, he lost his brother, Horace, in early 62, I believe, and he talked
about how
Horace wouldn't want to come back because he's the Great Divide, so he sees himself going to heaven, and yet no antibiotic, no antiseptic. He's in a Union hospital surrounded by dying men, infection everywhere. How does he survive? Does it make sense to you, Ron?
It's almost impossible. I mean, he says to the physicians, tend to other people, leave me alone. I'm going to die. There's other men who have a much greater chance of survival.
He doesn't die. He's given light duty. And now again, it's late 64 or into 65, and he asks to go back to battle again. So he's given a brigade of his own. It's early 65. Grant is arrayed around Petersburg and Richmond, the siege of Lee. And the siege finally breaks in late March, early April, and Lee makes a dash to escape. Chamberlain, part of Sheridan, I believe, part of Sheridan's cavalry, is on the chase of the Confederate army, and we come to Five Forks. Where was he at Five Forks?
He was at Five Forks right in the thick of the battle. It's a very terrific moment, and where Sheridan, pretty hot-headed, is so upset with Warren, who he believes is not coming up quickly enough, so he gets permission from Grant to dismiss Warren. And that will become an episode that will go on and on and on. And as people still talk about it after the Civil War, Chamberlain's a defender of Warren. He is a professor like Chamberlain. He may not look like he's outwardly passionate, but he's a very courageous man.
To help everyone understand why it is we're being so detailed, Civil War is a fever that people catch, okay? And so we're still arguing these details all these more than 140 years later. We can't 50, 60 years, whatever it is, it keeps going up. All of this is passionate by people who were not there, whose fathers were not there, whose grandfather were not there. But when Ron makes a commitment, and there are maps in his book that help you understand, we're still arguing both sides of the position. Chamberlain survives Five Forks. Lee surrenders, and here's a controversial moment. Grant accepts the surrender at Appomattox Courthouse, but the actual surrender of arms and the officers get to keep the buttons on their coats and their horses, as I remember.
Yes.
That is assigned to Chamberlain. Why?
Well, this is part of the controversy, as you suggest. There is no written order. And yet my mentor, the great Civil War historian at Princeton, James McPherson, said to me, not everything was written down in the last tumultuous days of the Civil War. So I went to Appomattox to find out the truth. And Patrick Schroeder, the park historian who has studied this for 25 years, believes that Chamberlain was given the command and did lead the surrender of the Confederate forces that remarkable April 12 day.
And the moment that is debated, a salute to the Confederates, how did that happen?
Yes, John Brown Gordon, like Chamberlain, a man who had not had any military training, had risen in the Confederate ranks to be almost at the top of Lee's generals. His men called him the Gallant. And as they came forward, suddenly to his surprise, Chamberlain literally gives them what's called a marching salute. Now, what was he saluting? He was not saluting the cause. He was not saluting the Confederacy. He was saluting the courage of the Confederate soldiers. And so this becomes a very dramatic moment that will be remembered and debated in following years.
And debated at great length, the surrender. Chamberlain is then part of the victorious army. They march in Washington, the
yes.
Army of the Potomac. He's now going to be let go from the army, but his wound, we remember the wound. It's still causing him problems here the summer fall of 65. But I don't think he's operated on again. He goes home again. He goes home before that. Is that correct, Ron? So we're going to go home with him to Maine. The war is over, although there are some details that will be tucked up for the next 150 years. Ronald White is the author on Great Fields, Life and Unlikely Heroism of Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.